Take your Bibles, please. Find the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter number 3. Psalm number 3. I have to correct one thing. Preacher said, I said we wouldn't be able to keep up with him. The word was put up with him. Just saying.
Remember who signs your check.
See what I mean? Psalm chapter 3, we'll read the whole psalm. Together, if you would, join me on all of the even verses of Psalm chapter 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Rise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah.
I truly, truly mean this when I say this. I just want to help you today. I don't try to preach a sermon to preach a good sermon. I'm not sure I could. I do want to preach a truth that could help you, though. I'm not trying to show you how smart I am. That only takes about 30 seconds. It's not a matter of that. But it is a matter of being able to let God use me to help you with a truth. And I have a truth today that every person in this room needs. If you're a young person, a teenager, it may seem like you don't need this truth right now, but you better learn it because you're going to need it. Amen. If you're a young adult, you definitely need it. Amen. If you're a middle-ager, you've already needed it and you need it some more. If you're a senior citizen, you need it more than anybody. This is one of those truths that will help you today. Notice Psalm 3. It is not for people that are doing well. It says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Now look at me. Psalm 3 was given to us by God for times of trouble. Psalm 3 was given so that when the pressure comes, when the attacks come, we have a place in which to run. Verse 2, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. May I say that in today's vernacular? Even God couldn't help you. That's what it says. It says, many there be which say in my soul, there is no help for him in God. In other words, you have many people saying, even God couldn't help you with this. Look at verse 3. But thou, Lord, art a shield for me and my glory. Now watch this. This is the title of the sermon and the truth for the day. And the lifter up of my head. Amen. I want to talk to you today about the lifter up of your head. Psalm 3 is for those times when problems come in waves. You know, if you're an adult, you've had times already in your life where it seems like it's one wave of problems after another. Amen. They didn't tell us they turned into tidal waves and tsunamis. The older you get, the bigger and more frequent those waves come. Those little waves start off and seem to be pretty big, but When you get to be at least 59 years old, I can tell you how big those waves get sometimes. And just about time one crashes down on top of you, you think, okay, that's over with. And you look up and here comes another, and you better take a breath real quick. Psalm 3 says that those waves of trouble, those waves of attack, those waves of problems, those waves of trials are going to keep on rolling. And I will tell you this, there comes points and times in your life where you just think you can not even pick your head up anymore. You don't feel like you can keep on going. There are times in life where it gets piled so high you wonder, can I get out from underneath the load? I'm not sure I can face another day. You've seen it. It doesn't take long. I watch people. I watch people walk into church and they have a heavy heart. They're under attack. They don't walk with confidence. They don't walk in and say, hey, Brother Paul, how you doing this morning? They walk in, hi, good to see you. Hi. Say, what's going on? They don't have their head up. Yeah. Their soul is overwhelmed. It's not hard to read. You see, some don't even get out of bed. They don't want to pick their head up off the pillow. If I could just rest and sleep, I'll just sleep away my problem. No, you're just adding more problems to it. You walk through these days with your head down and only look up as needed. Well, may I say something to you? You don't have to walk through life with your head down. You don't have to walk through life sucking dirt off the carpet with your lower lip. You don't have to walk through life depressed. You don't have to walk through life discouraged. You don't have to walk through life so weary you don't think you can take another step. Because my God says that He is the lifter up of mine head. God does not want you to just get through life. Let me say that again. God does not want you to just get through life. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to love. God wants you to enjoy life. That does not mean every element of life is enjoyable. Sin has brought on all the opposition to life you will ever face. Sin brings opposition to life. Fact is, God made your body to live forever, and the fact that you're sick, fact that you're getting older, fact that you have problems physically is due to sin, not God. Death is a struggle. Can I tell you why? Because God made your body to live forever and sin is foreign to it. That's why that struggle with death is so difficult. Because God made your heart and your body to live forever, but sin takes over and death comes because of sin. The wages of sin is death, not the wages of God. Well, God says we all have an appointed time. No, God didn't say that. God says there's everybody's appointed to die, not an appointed time. And God did not make man that way. God made man to live forever. So, well, God says you can live longer if you obey your parents. Yeah, because they'll kill you if you don't. And you're going to do stupid things along the way if you don't listen to somebody who's got some sense. It's not always our sin that brings the problem, though. Did you know that you live with sinners? No talking out loud. Yes, your family knows that, Scott. Trust me, they know it. Sometimes we're affected by somebody else's sin. Sometimes we're collectively hurt by somebody else's sin. It's called government. It's called living. It's called living in a world full of sinners. Everybody look at me for just a second here. Did you know that everybody that you come in contact with is a sinner? So you shouldn't be shocked if there's problems because of it. God did not create the problems. Sin does. I hear people, I probably shouldn't say it this way, people take a religious view wrongly by saying, well, God must have wanted me to go through this. Quit blaming God for sin. God never intended you to go through that because God never intended for you to sin. And if God did not intend for you to sin, why would God want you to go through that? Quit blaming God. God does not bring the difficulty to you. But God never said he would keep the difficulty from you either. Let me say that again. God does not bring every difficulty to you, but he never promised to keep the difficulty away.
Right.
Difficulties in life are due to sin, not God. Now, even though God does not want us to go through these hard times, he does promise to go through those hard times with us. God never said, I'll keep the problem from you, but he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God never said that I'll keep all your problems away, but he said, I'll go through the rivers and the waters and the fires with thee. But God also gave us Psalm 3. And a great and wonderful truth when these hard times come. When the days come where you don't think you can keep going, turn to Psalm 3. Everybody look at me for a second. This is not a poor me moment here. This is just the life I live. But I live daily with bad news. I live daily with hard news. I said this in Sunday school. There's not a one of you that would want to take the calls I've had in the last 7 days on that phone right there. Most of you would commit suicide if you did. And I said this in Sunday school, one of which was about that this week. There's days I don't want my phone to ring. There's days my phone rings and my heart is crushed. I say, preacher, how do you keep on going? Glad you asked. I keep on going. Because God said, I have a lifter up of mine head. God tells us he will help pick our head up so that we can face the day. There's days I'm weary. There's days I'm tired. There's days I'm heartbroken. There's days where I'm not sure I can take another problem and the phone rings. Or there's a knock at the door. Preacher, come on in. Hello. Say, you never sound that way, preacher. Can I tell you how? Because I have a lifter up of mine head. I have a lifter up of mine head. Child of God, you don't have to go through depression. You don't have to live a depressed life. I'll get into that in a second. You don't have to live a stressed life. I'm just so stressed, preacher. Well, take a walk. Preacher, I don't want to tell you this because I don't want to stress you out. You couldn't stress me out. I create stress. I don't get it. I live with what the world would call a lot of stress. My blood pressure is absolutely fine. When they took my blood pressure at the doctor's office, it was 132 over 74. He said, your blood pressure is the same it's been for 25 years. He said, you're within three or four numbers every time you come in here. He said, that is your standard base. He said, I don't know how you go through all you go through and keep your blood pressure like that. Can I tell you something? I can't keep stress from coming to me, but I don't have to open the door and let it in. Some of you open the door and just let it rush in every time. Then you wonder why there's no room for you. You don't have to let stress get you down. You don't have to let the shame of sin and mistakes in your past to get you down. I talked to a young man yesterday. Thrilled my heart to hear that he was back in church. And I led his parents to Christ years and years and years ago. Got away from God, got back into church, and is doing well. And I said, son, let me teach you something. The windshield on your car is much bigger than the rearview mirror. I said, if you drove to the church doing nothing but looking in your rearview mirror, you're going to crash. I said, the windshield's a whole lot bigger and it looks ahead. Quit looking back. Just look ahead. Amen. You only look back for reference sake. You don't look back living there. He said, man, I need that. I said, yes, you do. Now, may I say something? Too many of you are stressed out because all you're doing is driving with the rearview mirror. Rip the stupid thing off and look through the windshield. And learn how to park. No. God will lift your head so that you can face life. Well, preacher, it's just so hard. I got financial problems and I got family problems and I got this problem and I got health problems and I got... Hey, everybody's got the same thing you have. You just chose to look at the problem instead of the solution. And God says he will lift your head up. He did not say he'd take your problem away. There are days I walk through that door to stand here and I don't feel like it. But guess what? I do it anyway. When I fall out of a tree stand and crush my heel in 11 pieces. I didn't walk out, crutched out, amen? Preacher, why'd you do that? Because you needed it. I needed it. Well, you were hurt. Yeah, I'm going to hurt at home or hurt here. Might as well hurt here and enjoy God. Truth didn't change because I had a tree stand break. Let me talk to you today about God being the lifter up of your head. What causes us to have our head cast down? For God to pick our chin up means our chin was down. For God to lift your head up means you had your head down. I love watching people that are stressed out. Did you ever look at somebody like, it's hilarious. Go to an airport and watch people. It's funny. I watch people walk in church like that. Good morning.
Hi.
Having a problem? Oh, no, not me. Well, under the circumstances, well, what are you doing under the circumstances? Get on top of them. Why are you letting the circumstances pile on top of you? Get on top of them and stomp a while. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. It's hard. It's no easier for me than it is for you. I just chose to do so. You didn't. You could suck the dirt off the floor with your lower lip. Some of you don't hide that stuff well. You can get out of your car and I can see this is going to be a good day. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Say, preacher, don't you ever get down? I didn't say never got down, but I don't stay there. I bounce back real fast. And even if I am, you're not going to know I'm down. Say, why? You're just, you're different, preacher. I'm only different in the fact that I've let God lift my head up and I didn't leave my head down. I've chosen to let God pick up my chin when it's laying on the ground. Amen. Now listen to me. What does it mean? What causes our head to be cast down? First of all, exhaustion. When you're tired. And let me say this, you don't make good decisions when you're tired. That's why I believe people ought to be in bed early at night, not late. You make bad decisions when you're tired. Now, your definition of early and mine might be different. But what I'm saying is this, when you're exhausted, you don't make good decisions. The word exhaustion means perpetual tiredness, not a daily tired. The Bible would use the word weary. I know what it means to be weary. That means you're tired every day and a night's sleep doesn't fix it. Weary means it's been days, weeks, months, years of not resting right. When they did my sleep apnea test, I was weary. You say, why? Because it had been many, many, many years of, I get, according to their chart, I got about 2% of sleep in an entire 5 hours and 43 minutes. The rest of it was just closing my eyes virtually. I've lived years that way. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Good rest also will help your health be much better. I'm not saying a lot of rest. I'm talking about good rest. A continually hard schedule. I live a pretty aggressive schedule. Now, as I'm facing 60, it's slowed down a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not as severe as it used to be, but I still put up a pretty tough schedule. I went to go have blood drawn. This old feller got out of his car, walking with a cane, long white beard. He come dragging in, and he was there before I was, but I got through the door much sooner than he did. And I said, sir, there's already two people there. Go ahead and go ahead of me. He said, oh, no, you look like you're dressed for work. I said, I am, but don't worry about it. You were here first. Go ahead. He went ahead of me. Sat down. The other guy got up. They called my name, gave him my information, sat down. Lady came over to take his blood. She said, give me your birthday. He told him. He was 6 years younger than I was. I started feeling a little better when they asked me my birthday. I wasn't as tired as I thought I was, Brother Mike. I thought, man, I'm in a whole lot better shape than he is. I thought the guy had to be in his late 70s. He wasn't even out of his mid-50s, hardly. I said, whoo, the way the transgressor's hard on that dude, let me tell you. I don't know what sure he went to, but I don't want to go through that one. Now, wait a second here. Being weary, a hard schedule, it'll wear on you. Continual pressure can wear on you. That's why there are some people that think all they have to do is decompress. That's called your ride home from work. Learn to decompress. You don't have to take a vacation every week. You don't need to play video games for 6 hours a day to release the stress from work. Do you know what will release your stress more than anything? Work. Yeah. Laughing. Love. Doing something to help somebody else. When I get stressed and I have much stress on me, first thing I do is go find somebody to help. I don't take a day off. I go find somebody to help. Because when I find somebody to help, I get excited, Brother Steve. When I get excited, energy comes back. And when energy comes back, I can face the day. But when you're exhausted, it's hard to pick your head up. That's why most of you sleep in church. Exhaustion is not just one bad night. It's weeks and months of bad nights and hard days. So exhaustion causes you to have your head down. That's why when you're sitting in your chair and you fall asleep, your head goes like that. God says, I'll pick your head up. Number two, depression. The word depression means allowing the deepness of a problem in life to stop you from going forward. Let me say it this way. It's living in a hole. Depression means it's depressed. It's sunken down. And some of you live in a dark hole most of your life. Can I tell you why? You won't crawl out of the hole. Thinking about a problem to where the problem consumes you. How about we find the solution and focus on the solution, not the problem? True story. Had a call this week. A preacher called me and said, I need your help. I said, uh-oh. He said, I need somebody who's been through a lot. I said, that's a nice way of calling me old. He said, I got to go help a church this weekend. He said, I haven't faced this yet, preacher. And I thought, okay, I'm getting myself ready. He said, I got to go help a pastor. His son committed suicide this week. I've got to go help him and his church this week. What do I do? I said, I can help you. He said, have you ever faced this? I said, too many times. Yeah. And I took about 15 minutes teaching that young preacher how to help that family and how to help that church. Say, how? Oh, because I've been through it a few times. Had a good friend that was pastoring in South Carolina, not far from where my wife and I's house was, just in the next town over while I worked there. He called one day and he said, we were all out doing yard work. My youngest son went into the house, went to his bedroom, and we heard a gunshot. He killed himself. I was there. I've been down this road. Can I tell you what happens? People get depressed. And they don't pick their head up. And they don't let God pick their head up. And they focus on the problem, not the solution. May I say something? That type of solution is not a solution. You're generating more problems. And because many of you have not been brought up in the right kind of church and things, suicide is not an unpardonable sin. Amen. The Catholics will tell you if you take your life, you're going to go to hell. Only if you're lost. So, well, God says, thou shalt not murder. He says, thou shalt not lie. What are you going to do about that one? And according to the book of Revelation, God puts murderers and liars in the same list. There's only one sin God cannot forgive, and that is the rejection of salvation before you die. That is the only sin you can't be forgiven of because you never asked the forgiver to forgive you. Everybody doing okay? But suicide is not a way out. Depression, allowing yourself to become unfunctionable at everyday life because you have a problem. Please don't get mad at me. If this is you, I'm not talking about you. But bad news comes and you can't even get out of bed for 3 days. Can I tell you something? Get out of bed. Your best friend is your schedule, not your bed. Well, I've just got to cry it out. Cry it out while you work, not cry it out in your bed doing nothing. You're allowing yourself to be depressed put into a hole. It's dark. You're lonely. Nobody's there to help you because you will not come out of your depression to let God lift your head. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. You want to take my phone calls for a week? I understand more than you think. I understand what it's like to lose family members. I understand what it's like when a child forsakes what they've been taught. I understand bad news, bad health. I understand the cancers, the brain surgeries. Some of you could use one, but there's nothing to work on. I understand the heart issues. I understand all those things. I've been through them with my own family. I've had to tell the doctors to take my mom off the breathing machine. I've had to preach my mother's funeral. And at the same time, preach and help a family 40 minutes after my mom died to plan a funeral for their loved one. And on the way to help plan my mother's funeral, have somebody else in our church have their husband pass away and try to help them. I understand it. You watched me walk through that. Preacher, did you ever fall apart? No, I'm not planning to ever. My mama's in heaven. How could I fall apart? I've been through those hard days with each and every one of you. Now listen to me very carefully here. Allowing yourself to become unfunctionable because of a problem you faced means you're not letting God lift your head up. May I rewind for just a second? I didn't tell you I ever felt like going through with my head up. I didn't feel like it. But either I'm going to drag my face through the mud or let God lift it out of the mud. I'd rather have my head out of the mud than in the mud. Some of you just enjoy with your face planted in the mud. Yeah. I'm going to sit here and wallow in it for a while. So, exhaustion, depression. Can I tell you what else causes you to drop your head? Shame. Regret about something you've done. Living in regret over something of your past or even in the present. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's something you said. Maybe it's how you said something. Maybe it's an action or part of life that you should have never participated in. Maybe it's something you've done on a computer or done in private that nobody should know about but has found out and now you're ashamed. Shame causes you to drop your chin. By the way, sometimes you just need to face your shame. Say, how do you keep from having that problem? Be exposed. It doesn't mean everybody in the world needs to find out what it is. But when somebody does, go forward. I was talking to somebody this week and they were telling me about a tragedy in their family of divorce. And I said, I'm sorry for them. I'm sure they've been hurt. And the person said, yeah, but a lot of it was self-inflicted. I said, it may be, but may I say something? If you shoot yourself in the foot or if somebody else shoots your foot, the treatment's the same. Doesn't matter if you pulled the trigger or somebody else, fixing the problem is the same. What caused it isn't the issue. The treatment is the issue. Did you hear what I just said? That means this, Christian. Quit looking down your pharisaical nose when one of our Christian kids does something stupid. Let's look at your life and find out all the stupid things you did. Not going down that trail. So, shame can cause us to put our head down. Next, stress or pressure. That's different than exhaustion and depression. This is allowing circumstances to pile up to where you're not sure you see a way out. Preacher, I just don't see how God can. You don't have to. Well, people are telling me even God couldn't help me. Sounds like Psalm 3:2. There's no help for him in God. Not even God could get you out of this one. You don't know God like I know God. Stress is allowing things to pile up. I got a phone call this week. A preacher called me. Once again said, I need your help. He said, I have a pastor friend. I preached for him several months ago. While I was there, he pulled me aside and his wife looked at me and said, something's wrong with my husband. That's normally what a woman says. But she was seriously, and she said, he's having trouble with his eye. He was seated next to her and he said, yes. He said, this is what's happening. He said, I have this shadow and it's going across from one side of my eye to the other. The preacher wisely said, get to the doctor. He got to the doctor and found out he had cancer in his eye and had to have his eye removed. He's just recovered from getting through the eye surgery, and 6 weeks later, his wife died. But he'll be in his pulpit this morning. Can I tell you why? Oh, he's stressed. But he's letting God lift his head up. He's got one eye. He's lost the love of his life. But he's not letting the stress of life hold him down. You say, what's stress? I'll tell you what causes stress. Unfinished projects. Now I'm going to go to meddling. What's stress? Go to your garage and look at everything that's not done. Yeah. Go to your basement and find all the things you haven't finished. Go to your shed and find out all the things you haven't finished. Go to that room where all your projects are that have been there for 20 years. That's called stress. Stress is leaving things undone that you've started. Many of you are great starters and horrible finishers. Jesus said he's the author and finisher of our faith. Aren't you glad Jesus wasn't just the starter of our faith? That's true with your finances. You started off fine, and it lasted for about 6 days till your next check. The author and finisher. This is true about work. Can I tell you what stresses you out about work? Not getting it done. You don't know how to prioritize. You're like that little squirrel on Ice Age. Squirrel, 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 squirrel. Or the dog or whatever. You're just boop, 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 boop. And you never finish anything. Young people, you're getting ready to start school. Finish your work every day. It's real simple. Just break it down into chewable bites. You know, the old statement, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And that is true. You're looking at the whole elephant. Look at the next bite. Most of you are under stress because of so many things that are left undone. Relationships that are left undone. Work that is left undone. Projects left undone. Cleaning that is left undone. Whatever the case, many, many, many things in life stress you because it's sitting there in different stages of undoneness. Well, get them done. Don't take on anything new. Finish what you got. Boy, that's good stuff. Next, because you can't handle any more of that one. Pain and sickness cause us to drop our head. Cancer. This disease. That disease. Pain. those of you that have never had back issues don't understand people that have back pain. I watched one person walking in this morning. I said, your back's bothering you, isn't it? How do you know? Been there. I can tell how somebody walks when they have knee problems. I can tell when somebody's in pain. Can I tell you why? Because pain shows on your face. Continual sickness wears on a person. I had a pastor call me today. He's preaching out of town from where he pastors. He said, pray for me. A pastor started a church 20 years ago and is resigning his church, and he's about to mess up everything in the church. Can I tell you why? Sickness has come. He'd rather quit than to go forward. Let me say this. All of these things, exhaustion, depression, shame, stress, sickness, and pain, all of these things cause people to drop their head in life. God said, I want to be the lifter up of your head. He didn't say, I want to be the taker away of your problem. He said, I want to pick your head up. You say, why? Because you can't pick your head up on your own. That's why your head dropped to begin with, because you can't pick it up on your own. Young people, one day the problems will be so big you can't handle it on your own. So, number two, God says he will sustain us. Look at verse number 5. I laid me down and slept. By the way, when problems come, don't let it steal your rest. But number 2, it says, I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Now look at me. The word sustain means to help or to keep going over time. That doesn't mean you sleep 20 hours a day and work 4. I virtually get up at the same time every day, no matter what day of the year it is. 99% of the time, I'm up within a 15, 20-minute period every day of my life. It is very, very, very rare that I'm not. Can I tell you why? God sustains me. There's times I've been up in the middle of the night for an hour counseling, lay back down. God gives me the rest that I need. Now, I'm tired, but I have the strength to get through the next day too. The word sustain is such a neat word. Look, let me read Psalm 55 to you. You need not turn there. But Psalm 55 verse 22 says this. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He said, look, your burden is big and it's heavy. Cast it upon me. But that word doesn't mean you throw it down and leave it there. Most people misuse the word cast. When you pitch a baseball, you're casting it. You're throwing it so that you can get it back. When you cast your fishing line, you throw it out, not just to leave it, but you threw it out to get something back. God says, cast your burden. Throw it to me. I'll grab it, and I'll come back with it. Amen. And then we'll go through it together. That word cast doesn't mean I'm going to throw it at God's feet and walk away. It wasn't God's problem, and it's not his responsibility. It's your problem and your responsibility. But he said, cast your burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He'll be there over time to help you, and he'll not cause the righteous to be moved. In other words, he's not going to let your head fall. God said he would be the lifter up of our head. He'll sustain us. God does not want you to stop when the problems come. Turn to Psalm 23 very quickly. Often we only hear this at funerals. One of these days I'm going to preach a series of sermons out of Psalm 23. Psalm 23, look at verse number 4. Yea, though I walk, underline that word walk. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Look at me. Walking implies moving, doesn't it? God didn't say, yea, though I sit in the valley of the shadow of death. God says, yea, though I walk through the valley. That means when the shadow of death comes, God wants you to keep on moving, not sit down and cry about it. God doesn't expect us to sit there and bawl our eyes out and blubber and do nothing. He said, get up and start walking. Amen. Can I tell you why? Look at verse number 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow you. Did you know goodness and mercy cannot follow if you're sitting doing nothing? Goodness and mercy can only come when you keep on walking. You must keep on moving when the problems come, or you will be overwhelmed to the point where goodness and mercy cannot follow. Listen to me very carefully. Stopping while the load is on only makes moving that much harder. You shoot a big deer. Amen, Brother Larry? You get that thing moving, the worst thing to do is stop. Amen, Brother Steve? Because if you stop, you got to get all that momentum built back up. God says when that heavy load's on, that's why you don't pull in front of an 18-wheeler with a full load and hit your brakes real hard. Because it takes more energy to stop all that weight that's on there. I'm trying to help some of y'all. I want you to notice something here. Once you get that thing rolling, though, you can get it moving. Getting it started after you stopped takes a while. Pull up to a traffic light with a fully loaded 18-wheeler. Everybody behind him is impatient. Okay, let's put about 25 tons on the back of your car and see how fast you take off. But once you get it rolling, you can kind of maintain that. Same is true with your burdens. When you stop, it's going to be almost impossible to pick it up and start moving again. We are to keep walking as the problems come. You say, but it's slowed me down. Just don't stop. But preacher, it's so heavy. That's when I pray, God, I'll keep picking them up if you keep putting them down. I'll keep picking it up. You put it down. God, I'll keep picking my feet up. You keep putting them down. You say, why? Because if I stop, I'll never get the load moving again. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. I'm almost done, I promise. Matthew chapter 11. Give me just a few minutes. Verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How is God going to give us rest? Listen to what he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God didn't say, bring your problem to me, drop it off and walk away. God said, Brother Kevin, stand up here. Here's two yoke of oxen. You look kind of like one. God says, you can't pull it yourself. Come up next to me. We'll put a yoke on our neck. And we're going to pull it together. Did you know that two can pull harder than one? Now watch this. God didn't say, come back here. Come bring your load to me. Now you take off. I let God have my problem, preacher. Because he's still right there. He didn't say, come bring it to me and walk away. He said, come bring it to me. I'll hook up with you and let's pull it together, brother.
Amen.
Too many people, thank you, Brother Kevin, have a seat. Too many people say, well, I brought it to God, gave it to him. He didn't do anything with it. Yeah, because you walked away from it. Wasn't his problem, it's yours. He wanted to hook up with you. You were right next to him. How come you just dropped it at his feet and walked away? Then you got bitter at God because he didn't fix it. Hello? God didn't say, leave your problem. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And he said, my yoke is easy. It's not going to hurt you. My burden is light, because he can pull a whole lot harder than we can. But he didn't say that you're going to quit pulling. When you get God sustaining you, you have nothing to be afraid of, no matter how many problems come your way. Preacher, it just seems like it's one wave after another. Yes, it is. But when God lifts your head up and you're in the yoke with God, you can handle 10,000 problems. Lastly, this is my favorite part. It'll be the shortest part for you, and that'll be your favorite part. But God said he'd take care of our enemies. Can I tell you how? Look at verse number 7. O Lord, save me. O my God, here's my favorite part. For thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Everybody look at me. I don't have to fight, Brother Steve. Because God's going to whoop up on my enemy. He's going to punch him right in the face. That's what it says. Smite him on the cheekbone and break his teeth. God's going to deck the enemy. Amen? Don't step in God's place and do it yourself either. My Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. See, yeah, but God wasn't available, so I stepped in for him. God doesn't need you, puny little sinner. You let God take care of the smiting across the cheek and breaking of their teeth. Let me say this. Don't be guilty of doing what your enemy is doing to you. You don't fix your enemy by doing to them what they're doing to you. You see, God says he'd punch your enemy in the face for you. Now, I don't know about you. There's not a whole lot necessarily I want in life or eternity. But I'd like to get pretty close to the front when God throws the devil into hell forever. I want to be pretty close to watch that old rascal get thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Because I've seen what he's done to an awful lot of people. I'd like to be close enough to give him a little kick on the way down too. Amen. We're not to attack our attacker, or we become as guilty as our attacker. You're too worried about the enemy instead of the problem and fixing it. You're too worried about the person or the thing that's causing you irritation. How about we let God sustain us? We keep walking. We get through the problem and let God take care of the enemy. We have to keep living rightly as we go through the attacks and let God take care of our enemy. Recently, I've had an enemy that kind of reared his head a bit. And I said, God, would you remove the evil but protect the evildoer? Don't hurt the evildoer any more than necessary. Just stop the evil. I don't want somebody to suffer. Not even my enemy. You say, well, I do. Then get right with God. Because you're as guilty as your enemy is then. You want to hurt the person hurting you, you need to get on your face at an altar and get right with God. Because then you're trying to pick your own head up by knocking somebody else's down. Your chin doesn't come up because you knock somebody else's off. God says, I want to be the lifter up of your head. Let me ask you a question. Do you want God to lift your head? He's made it available for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you trying to pick it up on your own? The problems are coming. Depression, sickness, pain, exhaustion, heartbreak, all those things. Yeah, they come. They come in different packages, but it's still filled with the same stuff. But God wants to lift your head. Are you willing to walk close enough to Him and let Him lift your head? You keep on going and let Him take care of the enemy. I may say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. So many hands. Thank you. Whatever you need today from God, how about you come get it at an old-fashioned altar? Let's get ourselves as right with Him as we can, so that He can lift our head.